Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Slants with Bethel University head football coach Steve Johnson. Quick Slants is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Bethel coach questions about the Royals, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach shares his thoughts about Augsburg this weekend. He tells us how impressed he has been with Case Keenum and how well he's played for the Vikings. And is the coach nervous about evangelizing to others? Let's find out on Quick Slants.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Johnson this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
I think we're doing okay. Gideon Harbor is going to be back this week at running back, so we're excited about that. And guys are doing pretty well. We've kind of settled into what we're doing, where we're going, and those things. And so, we're working through weather at practice. Yesterday, it's snowing and raining during the deal, and we felt like we may be playing in this, so we better be out there. But it was pretty cold. So
snow. I know you hate to see that with Augsburg coming up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we do or not. You know, it is what it is. But we've had some crazy games with those guys, and it feels like there's always a weather. If we're here, there's snow and weather. If we're over there, there's hot sun. So it's kind of a weird deal. So we're here this week, so we got snow and weather.
Well, let's look back at last week's game for a moment. What were your thoughts about the way your team played against St. Thomas?
Boy, it was really a disappointing result, and really that question is kind of weird. It's like the game started. I was really excited about how we played, and really disappointed, in some things. And you know, part of that's in the coaching, part of that's the kids, part of that's the circumstance, and you can't predict these things and control them, which is the coolest part about the game. But if you get two down or two up, you're in trouble. But we opened the game with a great run back, a lot of excitement, and Joe Kenneke is just doing a great job with that, and kickoff return team, so we get it to their 40. And one of their guys got away and came up behind and popped the ball out and just made a great play. So it's not like, oh, you ding-dong, you fumbled. Their guy made a great play. So anyway, they end up with the football. And, we should have the ball on their 38-yard line going in, and here we go. And they've got it on 38. And so then they, right away, they go deep and make a nice play. And then we just really do a great job on defense and get them to 4th and 7. They decide not to go for a field goal, and they make a play and score on it. And so all of a sudden we're playing, So when I'm trying to answer this question as usual, it's taking a long time. But it's like we just did some fantastic things. And then, the credit has to go to St. Thomas. They're a heck of a football team, and, they'll make a play. And it feels like we'll do some great things, but they would kind of end up for naught, and it kind of happens when mistakes turn into a score. That just kind of troubles you, And that is, one of the ways that I describe them right now. And they, St. Thomas is really growing, and they're getting better and better. And they just, they have a lot of good athletes, and they're well coached, but there's not much room for error. When you play them, some people you can kind of make some mistakes and it still works out. But against the Tommies, it feels like every time you make a mistake, they capitalize, or, they just make a play that's pretty ridiculous. So, that kind of felt like that. So, I felt like our guys played well. I talked to them this week as we talked, is that their effort was great. Our coaches, we went into it expecting different results, and so that's disappointment, but it is what it is, and you fight through it, and you lean into it, and you work hard and grab joy while you're doing it.
Whose players' performances from this last week really stood out for you?
Joel Kenneke continues to grow and become just a terrific player. He just does the little things really well. He's got some pretty good stats, and that's kind of been opened up with Bryce Marquardt being injured. But Joel is just, he's a mature guy, and he just, I think there's a confidence piece that's come into him, and then he's just been able to show. I think Jake Marsh played well, where he's really, you know, they really, really pressure the quarterback, and Jake was, you know, not daunted by that, and he was pretty good and really efficient, and so he's doing a great job there. And so, you know, I felt like our skilled guys on offense did pretty well, and I think defensively, Kyle Kilgore just continues to be a dominant player. He's just got a few sacks a week. I think he's been the player of the week, even on a national publication 2 weeks in a row. And he's a guy that, you know, we've had a weird year with injuries, and sometimes an injury knocks a guy out. We've had those, but we've also had ones with Kilgore and also Josh Dahlke, a real good captain-type guy at linebacker who got hurt in camp. And those guys have never really, not until now, have they really been full go, even if they are now. So Kyle is kind of showing us what he could do, what he can do, you know, when he's healthy. And that's been a great thing for us. So a lot of things to be proud of, but you know, your heart kind of hurts, and you don't really think of them sometimes. When you can overrate a win and you can overrate a loss, and you have to move on. And if people think that's easy, they're wrong. You know, it's really it's tough. You know, you want to lose, you put so much into it, and you love these guys, and you just want to do great things for one another. And when it doesn't go the way you want, it's a life thing, you know, but it is good practice for life. But we talked on Monday, you know, what do you do with your pain? You know, do you transmit it on to somebody or something else, or you transform it and walk through things? And so that's what we're trying to do, that together. And I think that's kind of reaps benefits for later in life and even for next week, you know.
This week you take on Augsburg. This has been one of the more exciting games for you over the last few years. So tell us a little bit about what you think are some of the keys to this contest.
Yeah, a little bit too exciting. The Augsburg thing is a crazy deal. They really have a kind of a freelance way of playing anyway, and it's kind of a fun, you know, kind of a fun deal. And they like to throw the ball, and they've got a real good quarterback, Frizzell, and so they're doing some good things, and they've got good athletes. And this is their last game, so they have we all have a bye, and their bye week happens to be next week, where everybody else is still playing. Our bye week was 2 weeks ago, so this is their last game, their 10th game. And like last year, they pulled out of all the stops, and they faked two or three punts and got an onside kick and just did some crazy things. And so we're coming off of a game where special teams, we weren't very good except on the kickoff return. And so there's obviously stuff there. And again, it's one of those things where you can't overreact, and we just need to get back to our base and who we are and execute things correctly. And we talk a lot about where your eyes, especially on defense and your first step on offense. And those things are going to be critical for us to go. And those things, you know, they work toward just playing great. And so we've got to take that in stride and understand that there might be some scoring out there, you know. And so we've got to rush their quarterback and cover people and not give them big plays. And if they get them, you can't get discouraged and just keep rolling. So it's really a fun game, you know. And, you know, the week leading up, we feel like, you know, and here's one of the things, if anybody listens all the time, I feel like, man, I told our guys this, I feel like we have 25 days of great football. Our kids are practicing so well, and they, you know, there's a joy in the work, and it's really been cool. So about 25 days have been great, and one of those 25 was Saturday against the Tommies, and that was kind of a crummy day, you know what I mean? And boy, you can have a tendency to let that kind of wreck some stuff. And I don't want, you know, I want my, we talk about this in the Romans, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. And, you know, not base your happiness on what you did last Saturday or how things are going. And I think that's a cool life thing to, you got to stay it doesn't mean to stay sedate and not happy, but it does mean that, you know, put things into perspective and walk in him, and here we go.
You were mentioning about the success that Quinn Purcell has had this season. Tyrus Bolton, their running back, has made kind of a really difficult combination for the two of facing these two. I would gather that this is a game where you say to yourself and to your team that they really got to stay true to your base.
Well, yeah, we really do. We really have to, you know, it's a form of the option, and they really do a nice job with that. And they're really good athletes. Quinn's a coach's kid, and so he gets the game, and he's just doing that. Was a good get for the Aggies, and so it's you know, they're a handful to handle on their, with their offense, and their defense is good too. They just play really hard, and they play really free, and I admire that stuff. Sometimes the tricks, you know, are good, and sometimes they can come back to haunt you. But you know, it's an important game for both teams, but you know, the thing on my board is that we can't get so enamored with the score that we don't play, and we got to do things that we got to be Bethel, you know, and Augsburg going to be Augsburg, and you know, just see what happens. But those guys, definitely, you're right. They cause concern. That's funny, you know. They've got those gifts, but they cause you to pause a little bit, and it can take your aggressiveness away. So we're trying to find that balance to stay aggressive and get after it, but still, you know, make sure we cover everything.
Well, let's start with fan questions. Mike asks, he says, Coach, I thought that was pretty classless that St. Thomas is up like 41-13 and they are faking a punt. Isn't there such a thing as respect?
I don't know if you're thinking that way during the game. I've been here for 29 years and been coaching for about 38. And you can't really, you have to take care of your own stuff, and it exposed something on us, and you know, we made a mistake, and it shouldn't have happened. But you know, it causes us, really, those kinds of things cause us to grow a little bit. And I get we've been on either side, and it's hard to handle. You know what I mean? And the score wasn't indicative of the game. You know when you think about the game, and you think about how's your offense doing, and driving and scoring, and how, you know, a lot of scores were in the special teams. Primarily, they blocked two punts. And one was a quick kick type of punt, and then they blocked another one, and then we had a bad snap. So in the punting game, you know, we gave up a bunch of points. Well, you know, they gained the first down with a fake, and I guess I don't really look at it that way. I do think there's, you know, if somebody's up by 50 and they're still throwing bombs and fades and stuff, that's not okay, but it is what it is. So, I think the Tommies are marching toward the playoffs, and they don't mind having some fakes on film, because it does make people, tone down their pass or their punt block rush sometimes. So it didn't offend me or anything.
Ian says, when I listen to a lot of coaches talk about opposing players, they always reference them by their number. You talk about them by name. I think that is really cool that you show that kind of respect.
Well, thanks. Sometimes it's because I know the name, and sometimes I know the name because maybe we recruited them or know, you know, I mean, it is a compliment to those guys because they're a pain in the neck. But, you know, they're... Plus, I can't remember our guys' numbers, and I'm more in the names and nicknames and stuff like that. Anyway, but yeah, I guess that is good. I think it is. We do respect our opponents and care about them, and you know, want to beat them, and then shake hands, and here we go. It's a great thing about our league, man. There's a lot of great coaches and a lot of great players in all the teams.
Sandy asks, she says, I know you can be the toughest critic on yourself. How have you thought you and your coaches have performed this season?
I guess I'd be a tougher critic on myself than on the staff, but I, I love what our guys have done. Yeah, I think there's some things that you can look at. You can look at some results of things. Our special teams, we've done a great job this year, and we were horrendous result-wise last week. And it just, you know, so what happens on the field isn't always indicative of what you're doing and always working on, and that's a frustrating thing, but it's also something that, you know, whenever you think you got it all surrounded, that's when you are in for some, you're in for a shock. And so here's what I think about our coaches is that it's weird this question came up because the other day I was in the locker room picking some things up and writing a note to the guys because we got a board in there, and I was kind of overwhelmed with kind of just thinking about the guys in there and praying for them and stuff and kind of thinking about, man, you guys are really lucky because you got some great coaches. And, you know, not only X's and O's and fundamentals and techniques, but we have staff meetings where these guys want to, you know, get together man-to-man with guys and just kind of, you know, keep affecting their lives, you know, not only in the game but outside of it. And so our coaching staff is I guess that includes me in that. I love how hard we work and how much we care, and we can only give what we can give. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know how to grade it, but I'd say we've got a great staff, and I'm proud of them.
I'd give them an A, without a doubt.
Okay.
Greg would like to know, how is recruiting going, and do you have some players who have already committed?
We have some players that are committed, and at this level, you know, there's a commitment that is, we can't really talk about names and all those things, but recruiting is going great, to be honest with you, and kind of exposing kids to us and what we're all about, and, you know, it's way more than facilities. Everybody's got facilities, and I have a heart to help young guys and gals, for that matter, is find the right school and getting the right soil. And, you know, if we're attracted to someone and they feel that way too, then, you know, find a way to get here. But with all the financial aid and all the process things, you know, a commitment is, you know, we have a lot of guys that we feel like are coming, but you've got to go through all the processes. So, you know, but recruiting's going great, to answer the question.
Greg would also like to know, what are some of the biggest needs you feel for next year's team in terms of what you were looking for in recruits?
You know, number one thing is we want a guy who's going to be great for our football team. So that's a heart thing first. Obviously, you know, speed and those types of things. Offensive line, we're going like crazy. You know, linebacker, tight end type guys. You know, there are some players you know, a guy could be a big linebacker and end up a great defensive lineman in college, or a guy might be a safety or something and become a linebacker in college. And it usually is a speed piece where you're always wanting to get those things. So I guess a combination of speed and powerful guys like fullback, tight ends.
Byron asks, he says, Case Keenum has sure looked really good so far, much better than many expected from Minnesota. If Bradford or Bridgewater came back, would you sit him for one of them?
Boy, that's a tough question. I'm not a Viking lunatic, but I'm kind of for them because I live with a bunch of Viking fans, and they're all happier when they're winning. But I was able to watch a little bit last week, and he looks good, and he's got a spark, and he's got a fire, and he's efficient. I look for efficiency in a quarterback, you know, and you know, he puts the ball in the money and doesn't make stupid mistakes, and I think that guy's pretty good. I think we should, you know, Minnesota should quit complaining. And I you just don't know, you know. There's such a small margin between, you know, good and great. You know what I mean? What's the difference in, you know, this guy to this guy or this team to this team, especially at that level? I mean, those are freaky athletes up there. And so I don't know. I guess I'd kind of find out, you know, what's the rhythm of the team doing, and then maybe Bridgewater and Bradford would back it up and see what else. But, I mean, you know, the coaches are going to have a lot better feel for that. And, you know, I think the fans are usually a little more sensational.
Janet asks, she says, I want to feel more comfortable evangelizing, but feel like no one really wants to listen to me. Is it hard for you to reach out to people this way, especially those you don't really know well?
Yeah, I don't, one thing that I would say is this is, don't really measure it. You have no idea, you know, be who you are and, say what you feel without trying to be real, you know, really evangelizing. I'd love to evangelize, without words and, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to give you words that are good, but, you know, the way that you walk, Janet, and the way that you are, as far as fruits of the Spirit, kindness, joy, you know, somebody's going to want to know maybe, and then, or they'll just attribute that. And so I guess I feel like Dwight L. Moody a long time ago said, he's a big preacher, he said, I preach all the time, but I try not to use words.
Absolutely. Next up is Mike asks, he says, the opioid problem is becoming so ridiculous. Don't people realize that the one thing you need that can make you feel best of all is God?
No, evidently they don't. They don't realize that. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we can, you know, it just hurts your heart when stuff goes that way. But there's so many factors and people are just trying to, you know, medicate their pain. You know, I was talking about that earlier. We talked about that with the guys. What do you do with your pain? And, you know, and it's like, man, you know, sometimes you get into something, whether it's, you know, for whatever reason, something happens that way. And I just, you know, it makes you sad and you got to kind of, you want to hunker down and be the right guy every day. And I think that the thing that we have to understand is the opiate thing, you know, say if we could understand the freedom that we have because of the cross, that things are forgiven and we get to start over every single day. So you can be a mess yesterday and start over today and get a new slate, because the King forgave us through his son. So that's, I think people, it might be the last thing they go to.
It's pretty fortunate that we can get that, because I need a new slate every day. So
yeah, me too. I like to need it by the hour.
So what are we praising the Lord about and saying hallelujah anyhow, too?
Well, the hallelujah anyhow is easy, because, you know, lost last week and just the score and just the feel, you know what I mean? You just want so bad for the people that you're around and Bethel University to, you know, be proud and all that stuff. And that, you know, I know that, you know, if they're thinking, okay, they're proud anyway, but it's tough making it through that. But, you know, so that's the hallelujah anyway. But, you know, and the praise of that is that, man, we do, just what we were talking about, Robert, you know, we get to prove ourselves each day and we get to serve the King of Kings who loves us, and you know, everything bad can be fixed and everything good is even better because we're walking in him. And you know, that'd be my prayer.
That's awesome. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
We want to thank Coach Johnson for joining us on Quick Slants this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Bethel coach, please send them to us at stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's stevejohnson@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Quick Slants.